We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on an ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection, and the majority of the time, she will choose life. But she can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside her. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We believe that our ministry, as well as everything in the heavens and on earth, belongs to God, and our role is that of a trusted manager.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
I love talking about the things of God because of truth and the biblical worldview.
The U.S. Constitution obligates our government to preserve and protect the rights that our founders recognize come from God, our Creator, not our government.
I believe that Scripture in the Bible is very clear that God is the one that raised up each of you, and God has allowed us to be brought here to this specific moment in time.
This is Jenna Ellis in the Morning.
Good morning. It is Wednesday, December 11th, and published just about an hour ago in NJorNewJersey.com, mystery drone sightings expand to more New Jersey counties. Here's what we know. The FBI is investigating reports of nighttime drone sightings in at least a dozen New Jersey counties, and residents of more than a dozen counties across New Jersey have reported seeing large, low-flying objects hovering in the sky in recent weeks in an unexplained phenomenon that has baffled authorities. The FBI continues to lead the investigation into the drone sightings across the state. Governor Phil Murphy and other law enforcement officials have said there appears to be no danger, but they have no idea what they are, so that's not really convincing to me. But according to Fox News, also about an hour ago, the U.S. Military Research Center is denying that the New Jersey drones are theirs. So what's going on here? And maybe there's some kind of tech phenomenon that can explain this. Let's welcome in Jake Denton, who is a tech policy research associate at the Heritage Foundation. And Jake, I'm kind of just getting up to speed on this story. Do you know anything about this, or what could possibly be behind this?
Can attribute this, you know, probably going all the way back to the that was just a message to our adversaries and really anyone who wanted to wreak havoc in the skies that we're open for business. And so I think you can really attribute it going all the way back to that incident. And in many ways, it's kind of the same thing. You know, we have these unidentified aerial, phenomenon, and they're just kind of going over targeted sites, whether it be a military base or other sensitive areas, and we can't really seem to do anything about it. So it's pretty concerning.
It is concerning when, you know, our own government at least is saying that they don't know what it is, you know, with the New Jersey governor, and then but telling us on the other hand, you know, but it's perfectly fine. It's totally safe. I mean, this I don't know if you're old enough, Jake, to remember the black helicopter phenomenon of like the early 90s when there were these random black helicopter sightings. And I still remember, you know, everybody kind of, you know, thinking, oh, this is the government or this is some, you know, unexplained phenomenon. And I'm not really sure anybody ever figured out exactly what was going on back then. But, you know, those were the big giant helicopters, not these tiny drones. But it's going to be an interesting story to follow. But let's move on to this headline from The Wall Street Journal. Dozens of countries hit in Chinese telecom hacking campaign, a top U.S. official says. So at least 8 U.S. telecommunications firms were compromised in the attack, a senior White House official said. So according to the Wall Street Journal, Chinese government hackers have compromised telecommunications infrastructure across the globe as part of a massive espionage campaign that has affected dozens of countries, this according to the White House and a top U.S. security official said last week. So speaking during a press briefing Biden's deputy national security advisor for cyber and emerging technology said the so-called SALT Typhoon campaign is ongoing and that at least 8 telecommunications firms in the U.S. have been breached. So what do we know about this? And it seems like, you know, China is just kind of doing whatever they want with zero accountability.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty remarkable. The more I talk to folks about this, the little that the public seems to know. But the FBI actually put out a notice several days ago saying that Americans should not be texting outside of encrypted channels, meaning, you know, your iMessage or if you're on an Android could be surveilled. And most people, including here in Washington, D.C., working for the government, haven't really been brought up to speed on this. But, you know, as you noted in the kind of rundown there was that they are actively compromised. We don't really know how long they've been inside of our telecommunication systems either. And we're not necessarily sure who they were surveilling. There's a list of supposedly a few top staff and politicians, but we basically don't know what they've collected, who they collected it on, and how long they've been doing it for. And so this is really just a perfect way to wrap up the Biden administration, one of the more significant national security scandals probably of our lifetimes. And it's not really clear how we're going to rectify this. It doesn't seem like they have a very clear path out of this systems being compromised. So it seems like this could be our future for the immediate future, at least.
Wow. So what can the incoming Trump administration do in terms of cyber and technology with the incoming, you know, NSA pick and hopefully come to some kind of resolution here?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, really just professionalizing the cyber staff. I think really for the Biden administration, it's been a post to launch their careers as commentators. You look at Ann Nurberger, she's been in the Gulf doing speaking engagements in Arab countries while this is all going on. And she's supposedly President Biden's top cyber advisor. Why isn't she at the White House? You know, why isn't she actually coordinating with government agencies to rectify this? I think, you know, really you look at the last 4 years, what are our cyber accomplishments? You know, we have CISA now, the cybersecurity agency, and they really haven't gotten a single win under their belt other than censoring the American people. We really just have not taken cybersecurity seriously. And this is what happens when you do that. You know, we leave a giant target on our backs and the Chinese or whoever else decides to do us harm knows that we can't do anything to protect us because we just put people in power who want to build a brand for themselves.
Wow, it seems like everybody in the Biden administration is just going on vacation and basically abdicating the rest of their lame duck session, other than, you know, sending a bunch of money and missiles and all of that to Ukraine and trying to stir up problems in the Middle East. And so it's literally like the worst of every side in terms of the decision making from the Biden administration. So I really hope that, you know, a lot of this can get rectified in the first, 100 days at least of a Trump administration. I'm speaking with Jake Denton, who is a tech policy research associate at the Heritage Foundation. And Jake, I also wanted to get your comments on this story. Speaking of, you know, spying, it's not necessarily just China that is spying on Americans. It's our own tech companies. And so this coming from the New York Post business page. Apple is illegally spying on employees' personal devices and silencing pay talks, according to a lawsuit. So Apple has been accused in a new lawsuit of illegally monitoring its workers' personal devices and iCloud accounts while also barring them from discussing their pay and working conditions. So the complaint was filed in a California state court about 2 weeks ago. It's according to a reporter who works in digital advertising, or a whistleblower rather, who works in digital advertising for Apple, and claims the company requires employees to install software on their personal devices that they use for work, allowing Apple to access their email, photo libraries, even their health and smart home data and other personal information. So this is super concerning, Jake, and at least according to the lawsuit, this would require additional software on, and so this is, you know, pretty disclosed at least to Apple employees. But what's to stop Apple from just putting this type of spyware on anybody's device and surveilling any of their customers, not just employees?
Yeah, you know, the story is interesting because there's a lot going on. So for the bring your own device programs at pretty much every company, they require any company with an IT department, that is, they require a certificate to be installed on the device in the event that it's been lost or stolen so that they can wipe it of sensitive information so that, you know, IP isn't stolen. And, you know, it's pretty standard. The question here is really if they've used that access to surveil the employee, which would probably be pretty hard to prove. But then you go into a second section of this article, and they talk about limitations on what you're able to say on podcasts and post on LinkedIn. And, you know, every company also kind of has that as well. You know, you're not a designated media officer. You're not able to speak to the press and social media policies. So it's really hard to say exactly from the story what is broken from the norm. If they are able to prove that, you know, Apple is surveilling personal devices and really cracking down on their employees, that is definitely substantial. But for the time being, this is kind of just what most tech companies do. So it's really interesting. I'm not necessarily sure what we'll get from this, but you know, if they are kind of encroaching on their own employees, yeah, there's absolutely no telling what they're doing to ordinary folks as well.
Yeah, and you know, and that's a really good point that a lot of these companies have these types of policies, especially you know as social media becomes more and more prolific and people can get their own followings, then they aren't allowed to talk about certain subjects, especially if there's proprietary information or even just from a PR standpoint for a lot of these companies. And so that aspect of it doesn't seem like that's really a winner in terms of litigation. And yet, you know, when I'm reading this headline, it seems like that type of monitoring on a personal device does seem a little bit out of the norm or potentially encroaching into, you know, private data that a company really shouldn't have access to. So, you know, where are some of the lines here and do we have precedent for that?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I think this is generally an unexplored area. So typically how this comes about is when you start at an employer, whether it be Apple or, you know, even the Heritage Foundation, you're offered a work phone or you can bring your personal device. This is just kind of standard practice in the professional world. But, you know, when you decide to use your own personal device, there's essentially terms and conditions from your employer about what you can do, what you can save on your phone, things of that nature. Regarding your work, you know, at the office. And this is just kind of the norm. I don't know if anyone's ever necessarily pushed back on this, but you're not forced into this kind of bubble, typically. You can choose to just have a work-provided device, and that is under their security blanket. So, you know, it's tough to say, you know, if Apple is forcing this on their personal devices, on top of them being, you know, carrying a work phone, that's something. But if they've opted out of the works ecosystem, it is kind of the typical standard that they put a certificate on the phone. It is certainly intrusive. I'm not sure if anyone's pushed back on this before.
Yeah. So, well, this will be interesting to follow this type of lawsuit. And you raised, you know, some really good points because, you know, as I'm initially reading this, I mean, obviously my first question is, okay, could a company, you know, put some kind of spyware or something on my phone? But, you know, I mean, Apple, at least as a company, does have a good reputation, at least for securing data. I mean, obviously they respond to valid subpoenas and law enforcement where they can, but they balance that with the privacy interests of their customers as well. And so this type of lawsuit, you know, may just be something where, you know, an employee is looking to kind of cash in on, you know, some type of subject that really isn't ultimately going to go the direction that he hopes. But you know, as we go into greater and greater, you know, technology availability for everyone, I mean, this type of security and data security seems to be a big concern. I mean, where should the balance here be, Jake, in terms of just people's common understanding of, okay, if I'm using a personal phone, you know, with my employer or my social media, that my employer is telling me I can't post on certain subjects or, you know, these types of things. Where should the balance be in terms of that type of regulation?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. You know, there's a really dramatic information imbalance between the ordinary employee, you know, not working at a tech company like Apple, just maybe a commoner, and the IT department and what they're really asking you to opt in can totally just, you know, pry into your personal life without the employee knowing. So I think meaningful consent, you know, informed consent is pretty important here. And that takes probably some form of intervention on the kind of disclosures that the employer is giving to the employee about what they're opting into a certain programs. But I just think generally speaking as well, we've talked about this a lot, digital literacy in this country is seriously lacking. I think most people are well aware of that, but don't really do a whole lot to rectify it for themselves. So reading up on what these privacy concerns are, what the implications are for your personal life, is huge, because you'll never know for certain if the person across the desk from you is lying to you. And so you got to be your own best advocate here for sure, and really read up on these things.
Yeah, well said. And Heritage has a lot of great information. So thanks so much, Jake Denton, for dropping by this morning. Tech Policy Research Associate at the Heritage Foundation. You can follow Heritage and also Jake Denton on X. I would encourage that. And yeah, always be your own best advocate. I think that's a wise advice in a lot of areas, including when it comes to tech and policy. So we'll be right back with more here on Jenna Ellis in the Morning. Could the fate of America's children be tied to the fate of our nation itself? Much like the abortionists who end the lives of the unborn, the left is determined to undermine the pro-life movement. First, they target the babies. Then, they come for the rest of us. Preborn stands as a beacon of hope for the most defenseless among us, preborn babies. Every day, Preborn's network of clinics rescue, on average, over 200 babies while surrounding expectant mothers with God's love and offering a free ultrasound. Rescuing the miracle of life has never been more crucial as we navigate this time of moral decline in our nation. Will you join Preborn in protecting the least among us? For just $28, you can sponsor an ultrasound and give a mother the chance to choose life, not only for her baby, but for herself. An ultrasound doubles a baby's chance at life. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com/AFR. Preborn.com/AFR.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back. Well, cementing Biden's legacy as possibly the worst president in modern history. This headline from Washington Times, it's so insane. The White House tells staff to spend as much money as possible ahead of the Trump presidency. So the White House chief of staff told staffers on Monday to spend as much money as allowed under federal law in the final days before Biden leaves. So in a memo to White House staffers, the chief of staff urged his team to keep doling out cash for President Biden's legislative victories, including his bipartisan infrastructure law, climate, health and tax law dubbed the Inflation Reduction Act. You know, remember how successful that was. COVID-19 stimulus, as if we still need that. And his measure to boost domestic semiconductor chip manufacturing, known as the Chips and Sciences Act. So the chief of staff said the government has already spent 98% of the funding already legally available through October, but there is still more available to spend. And so all four of these bills added up to roughly $5 trillion in new spending, this according to the Washington Times, with $1.9 trillion for the COVID-19 stimulus package, $1.2 trillion for the infrastructure law, $52 billion to boost the semiconductor manufacturing, and $1.2 trillion for health, climate, and tax law. So I don't know about you, but as a taxpayer, this just makes me sick. But let's bring in Dr. Kevin Freeman, who is the host of the Economic War Room and also Pirate Money right here on American Family Radio Network. So, Kevin, you know, this really doesn't seem like Biden is wanting to go out with, you know, any kind of approval rating.
Well, we wonder if it's President Biden himself or it's the people around him. Either way, it's devastating to the American people that he continues these woke policies and spending money after we clearly showed him at the polls we're not interested.
Yeah, I mean, and so what is the justification here for wanting to just spend as much money as is available? I mean, what good potentially, or what rationale could the chief of staff and all of these people, you know, clearly not Biden himself because he's on vacation, probably on a beach somewhere, you know, and he's definitely lame duck. But what is even their justification for going, oh, we've spent 98%, let's go ahead and spend as much as we can?
Well, they're actually doing a biblical concept. It's not a good biblical concept, but it's certainly biblical. It's the parable of the wicked steward. You know, when the steward found out that he was going to be fired, what he did was he started throwing around the master's money. Biden's been fired by the American people, and so he's throwing around the master's money. If you want to read the story, you can read it in Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. It was a guy, the master says, I'm going to fire you. So he goes out and starts wiping out the debt of everybody who owes money to his employer. So he starts cutting their bills in half. This is what Biden's been doing all along, trying to buy favor with the American people. Also, you know, he did that, by the way, with the student loan promises. We'll just eliminate your student debt. That was just a blatant promise. Now he's doing it to buy his favor when he's out of office or the people that work for him are out of office. He's essentially misusing public money for the purpose of blocking President Trump coming in so he stops his agenda, and at the same time buying favors with progressive groups that will allow them to have U.S. taxpayer dollars with which they can try and take over the government.
Well, I think you rightly characterize this and biblically characterize this as wicked, and it is a wicked way to steward the public's money. I mean, you know, this isn't, the government isn't a revenue generating institution. This isn't Biden spending, you know, his own money. This isn't, you know, anything that that they should be abusing or misusing in this way. But is this, is there anything that can be done short of just waiting out the clock until, you know, noon on January 20th?
Well, first off, it's much more than just spending other people's money. It's spending other people's money they don't have. We're already $36 trillion in debt. We're already paying $1 billion a day, $3 billion a day in interest, $1 trillion a year in interest only, and we're adding $3 trillion a year to our debt. So every 3 to 4 months, another $1 trillion is added on debt. So it's entirely wicked. What can be done about it is court injunctions, executive orders when President Trump gets into office. Short of that, the Congress, the power of the purse belongs to the House. They could step in if they would like to, and they should. Unfortunately, a lot of this money has already been allocated, and they're just going to just shovel it out the door, leaving very little in the chest when President Trump gets there to do his purposes and objectives. And that's why they're doing this. This is a starkly political move. It's wicked, and it's to the detriment of the American people.
I'm speaking with Dr. Kevin Freeman, who is host of the Economic War Room and also Pirate Money right here on American Family Radio Network. You can go to AFR.net and listen to all of those episodes that, you know, are really important and have a lot of really good information on, you know, the financial and economic side of the coin, as it were. And Dr. Freeman, we always talk about Congress having power of the purse, and, you know, members of Congress say that as basically a talking point, but it doesn't seem like even Republican members of Congress are super eager to actually use it to restrain spending. Have we heard anything from Speaker Johnson or, you know, incoming leader John Thune about any of this?
Well, number one, they absolutely have the power in the Constitution. As you know, Jenna, as a student of the Constitution and an you know, practiced person in the political realm, you know they have the power. It's a question of whether or not they have the will. I have seen positive signs from Speaker Johnson. I've certainly seen the Trump team gearing up to encourage proper behavior. What we have seen, though, even worse, is the commitment of the Democrats to spend the money regardless, to take over the institutions regardless, to put roadblocks in place. This is much worse than what they did when Bush came in, which was they took some of the keys off the keyboards on the computers. They're literally putting monetary and physical roadblocks, physical meaning personnel roadblocks, in place to prevent Trump from carrying out his agenda. The good news is that Trump is aware. For the first, you know, when he came in the first time, he assumed, I'm going to be the boss and people will report to me. he knows that's not true this time, and he's fully prepared, I believe, to start from day one. So it's going to be a battle. It'll be a massive political battle. People don't realize it. We're settled for the holidays and all of that, but there's going to be a massive political battle in January. Get ready for it.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the American people, certainly everyone who voted for change and turning the page on the Biden-Harris administration, are ready for Trump to take the reins and to turn around the economy like he did in his first 4 years. And I agree with you that, you know, he's coming in a lot more aware and eyes wide open to how deep and disgusting the swamp is. And so what would you say in terms of economics and this specific subject matter should be his top priorities on day one and then for the first 100 days?
Well, two of the most important things he can do, he's got to reduce government spending. He's got to increase growth of the economy. And so two major agenda items are DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency, and secondly, reducing regulation and increasing energy output. If we don't improve the productivity of the American worker, and if we don't reduce regulations, there's no way we can tackle the $36 trillion in debt that's been built up. I mean, this will be a race to see, because when he starts deporting illegal immigrants, that's going to hit the economy one way from a labor market perspective. When he starts doing some of the other agenda items that he has, it's going to create cross currents of inflation. And the best thing that he can do is reduce regulation and at the same time get rid of the government waste, fraud, and abuse.
And I hope that he is accomplishing, you know, all of that, and we really see within the first 100 days a lot of this turnaround. And you mentioned DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency, and this is, you know, of course, being helmed by Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy. And a lot of the critics are suggesting, okay, you know, this is kind of a PR move, and maybe it'll enlighten the American people as to the total excess spending and waste that the government actually has been abusing, and, you know, talking about a lack of stewardship. But what can in this area specifically to boost the economy and bring down inflation? Is there something practical that DOGE can actually accomplish?
Well, number one, we've seen all of this push from the Biden administration to get money out the door. They can immediately stop that, shut the door, and focus. Now, I don't have, you know, it could be called a unicorn. Wow, I love to see one in the wild, someone that actually reduces spending. And I would agree with that if it weren't Elon Musk in particular. I mean, the man's put billions of dollars behind his faith in the American people, free speech, and so forth. I've been so impressed with how this very wealthy man has focused on getting America back on track. Granted, if you cut 10% of discretionary spending, which is a lot, you'd save maybe $200 billion on a $7 trillion budget. But it's a start. And if you could combine that with Make America Healthy Again, where we don't spend so much on Medicare, which is not discretionary, it's mandatory spending. But if Americans get healthier, you actually reduce government spending on Medicare. We have to have all hands on deck, everyone working at once, put it all there together. And it's got to be with the intensity of a world war effort. And we've got all of this happening at the same time the Biden administration appears determined to start World War III. So it's going to be a very, very crucial year. I have great hope because of good people like President Trump and, of course, Elon Musk and maybe Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and others. If we make all hands on deck and say this is our chance to stop America from going over the cliff, maybe we can do it.
Well said. Dr. Kevin Freeman, my special guest this morning, who's host of the Economic War Room and also Pirate Money right here on American Family Radio Network. And, you know, this is just reminding me how much we as Christians need to pray for the incoming administration on every level. Now, you don't have to agree with or even like, you know, every single nominee, and whether or not you voted for Trump and supported him. We all as Americans should want the best for the future of our nation. And that's also our our own preservation of freedom and liberty and the blessings of liberty in this country. In the same way that, you know, I didn't vote for Biden. I didn't particularly like him. I didn't want to see him in office over the last 4 years. But I still, as the Bible admonishes, pray for your leaders and pray that they make the best decisions. And with the Biden administration, Kevin, seeming like, you know, they are just trying purposefully to set this up in the worst possible way for Trump taking over. You know, one of the other major issues that Trump has said that he wants to tackle is tax reform. And that's a huge piece of it for Americans who are really sick and tired of paying an outrageous amount to the federal government to then, you know, go for things that we didn't approve, like, you know, funding Ukraine and, you know, sending, you know, missiles basically everywhere and, you know, doing all of these things and spending this type of excess money. It is a slap in the face to the American taxpayer. So, you know, what short of Congress legislating, which may happen, what can the Trump administration do in terms of alleviating some of that pressure for the American public as well?
Well, there's a lot of discretion given to the executive branch and how they carry out the directives sent them by the legislative branch. And so the president then chooses how fast or slow that they can move money out the door. If you properly scrutinize, which is the exact opposite of where we started. Jenna, when we started, you quoted a Washington Times article that says they're trying to move trillions of dollars out the door. And that was trillions that was legislated, but they're trying to get it out into the public's hands. Or into their cronies' hands in some cases. In this case, President Trump can actually, by executive order, he can stop or slow a lot of that spending, and it'll sit there, and then he can go back in the next budget. And we need to, at the congressional level, actually produce a budget. That's something that Trump administration can do. They can produce a real budget, and all they have to do is grow government less quickly than they're growing, than the economy's growing. And if we do that, we can get back on track. Now, in terms of taxes, you know, there are certain tax cuts that need to be renewed from the Trump tax cuts that the Biden administration or Harris would have ignored and allowed to expire. Those would hurt the economy. We need some real work there because our corporate tax rate without the Trump tax cuts is among the highest in the world, and that will hurt American productivity. So there are a lot of things that the president can do in the budget process, working with Congress, and just in the execution of the laws that are already written.
Yeah, well said. And I hope that the people that Trump is putting in these key positions, not just the nominees that need to be Senate confirmed, but then, you know, everybody else who are political appointees will understand this and will really move with all of this. And so who are you potentially most excited about in terms of the nominees that Trump has selected so far?
Well, I'm no Scott Turner going to Housing and Urban Development, no Dr. Carson. I believe that the good work that the Carson team did will be continued with Scott Turner at HUD. And so I'm particularly excited about that. I'm especially excited about this notion of the Department of Government Efficiency because nobody has ever applied efficiency before that to this process. I'm excited about the cleaning up of the Justice Department and the FBI. All of those, all of the above. The Defense Department, regardless, needs to get away from woke and start getting back to warfighting capabilities. We spent a fortune on pushing paper around and woke policies. If we had that same dollar amount spent on warfighting capabilities, you know, we could return America to that preeminent military position. We're not ready to fight a two-front war. We may not even be ready to fight a one-front war with China if we have to. So we just need to get rid of the woke and get back to sound government policy serving the American people.
Well said. Get rid of the woke, return to common sense. Kevin Freeman, host of Pirate Money, right here on American Family Radio Network. You can go to AFR.net and click on the icon for Pirate Money. But wait until after the show, because we'll be right back with more here on Jenna Ellis in the Morning.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back, and tis the season to plant gospel seeds, and this according to an article that ran in the American Family Association's The Stand magazine. You can go to afa.net/The Stand and look at all of the great articles there. But this comes from a vision that actually our AFA founder, Don Wildman, had in terms of the culture's take on Christmas, that now almost 20 years later, Brother Jerry Lawson has enthusiastically continued to carry out in terms of Christmas buttons. So he joins us in studio this morning. So Jerry Lawson, tell us about the Christmas buttons.
Well, Miss Jenna, it's honor for me to be here today on AFR, and so I guess just this year probably I've done passed out 1,100 buttons, and passing these buttons out, just like you said, they're gospel seeds, but I get to find Christ in the presence of so many people when I pass those buttons out, and it has been a tradition for me for the past 20 years.
That's really incredible. And so what inspired this? I mean, I mentioned our founder, Don Wildman, and his take on recognizing that Jesus is the reason for the season. I mean, that's not just a cliche, but it's true. And we need to, as Christians, promote the truth of the gospel of Christ with this season of Advent. And so how was this started, and why did you kind of carry forward this tradition?
Well, about 20 years ago, when on television you could see they were talking about the fact that many of the big box stores would not allow their employees to say Merry Christmas. They had to say X Christmas or Happy Holidays or something. And that just, it really frustrated me. And I thought, Lord, give me some ministry that I can do in my own way to kind of push back against that. And that's when I came across Mr. Wildman's Christmas buttons. And so I got a few Christmas buttons, passed them out, and then all of a sudden, everywhere I go with my Christmas button on, people are wanting Christmas buttons, and people want to say Christmas buttons. This morning, I stopped to get a little cup of coffee, and the ladies there at the cash register fell in love with my button. And so when I left, every employee in the business had a Christmas button.
Oh, that is wonderful. And you're just spreading the wealth and the joy of the season. And these buttons, I don't know if it's the same as the picture in the stand, but it looks like at least the picture that I have is a red button that says, Jesus, he came for you and Merry Christmas, with a picture of Christ in the manger. And so is this the same button, or do you have, you know, multiple versions?
Well, there's two different buttons. There's a red and green button that we're putting out this year. But I go back 20 years, and I've got some really beautiful buttons out of the past that people are still asking me for today, and I don't have any more of those. But, yeah, there's two different buttons that you can get.
Okay. And so, I mean, this is going to end up being like, you know, the challenge coins on Capitol Hill, where, you know, there's all of these different, or people are going to start wanting to collect all of your different buttons, Jerry. But I love this. And so so people can get Christmas buttons. Listeners can get Christmas buttons this season if you want to participate in this way of sharing the truth of the gospel of Christ. And so they can order those. How can people get a hold of these? And I'm told that this is even free shipping week as well.
Well, it may be. I don't have the sheet in front of me that, you know, gives the price of the buttons, but they come in packs of 10. And I'll get 500 of the red buttons, 500 of the green buttons, and then I fill my pockets up with them. And as I go through the day, I end up with no buttons in my pocket. But I tell you, it's just a blessing to pass these buttons out, especially to somebody that's come up and been nice to you. Give them a button, and you'll find Christ in their life, and it'll bless you. It makes the season full of joy for me.
Yeah, and what a wonderful way to spread, you know, like I've said, the joy of the season as well. And so I've gone here on my laptop, I've gone to resources.com
resources.afa.net. So resources.afa.net. And there is a featured products as soon as you go to that link. And there's a special Christmas offer for 20 buttons for $10. So this is instead of the normal price of $16. And then there are also, and that's the red and the green. And then there are also special wristbands that say "Keep Christ in Christmas," and I love that, especially for kids and teens. It seems like ever since the Lance Armstrong wristband, was the Live Strong that was kind of the first iteration of this. These have still been incredibly popular, and so you can get those as well for "Keep Christ in Christmas" at resources.afa.net. And there is free standard shipping in the Resource Center now through Friday, so you can get these. So, so Jerry Lawson, tell us maybe a couple, one or two of the stories that you recall over the years of your favorite moments with these buttons and sharing the joy of the season.
Well, last week, I really had an extremely great blessing. I had stopped to eat dinner, and as I was eating my meal, I noticed that there was a Down syndrome girl that was looking at me, and then I realized she was looking at the Christmas button, the red one that said Jesus, he came for you, and she had a Jesus cap on that was red with a green sweater. So I get up and go and ask the parents, can I give her one of these Christmas buttons? And the parents just lit up and said, absolutely. I gave her that button. And then she stood up and gave me a hug and just squeezed me, and I lost it. But I mean, that's just one of those blessings that it's Christ embracing me. You could kind of see that she had a handicap. Well, I have a multitude of handicaps that people don't see, but one thing I can do is be a blessing for other people for Christ.
So well said. And, that's such a great point that often, not everything and the challenges that we all go through or the issues that we face, whether they're, medical or mental health or whatever, are not necessarily visible. And, even to people like that who maybe have a visible disability, there are so many people that have things that we're not even aware of.
Right.
And this can just be such a blessing to them. And, what an encouragement, especially for her family, that you were just so sweet and offered, her that moment, and then she blessed you back. I love it so much. And that's part of the joy of giving. We often say that, Jerry, so much in this season, that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And I've found that in my own life and over the years at Christmas. My family loves to, give and give at Christmas. And my grandma's slogan was bigger is better and gaudy is good, because she just wanted to do everything for the kids and the grandkids. She passed away in 2005. We still keep her memory alive through Christmas, because she just celebrated the love of the Lord and the joy of the season. And I cherish that my family has passed down to me to know that this season is all about giving, and we celebrate the truth of the greatest and most precious gift, which is Christ that came to us. And this season of Advent is so important. So these buttons are a reminder of it's Charlie Brown's Christmas. I don't know if you've seen that one where they talk about, the corporate America and all of that. And,
yes.
And going back to just the simplicity of the truth of the gospel. So again, you can get these buttons, resources.afa.net. And so we also have, these wristbands. Have you handed out the wristbands, or are you just a button guy?
No, I've got the wristbands as well. I should have put some on this morning, but I pass them all out. And you're going to come across people in life that's having a difficult day. You give them one of these buttons and tell them, Jesus wants you to have this button today. He's with you. And, I mean, it'll just brighten their day.
Yeah, it really will. And, you know, my little brother is such a great example to me of how he loves to bless people, because he'll even without handing them this, and I'm sure, you know, he will love getting these buttons, and I'm going to tell him about this too. But every time that we go out anywhere and we're whether it's at a restaurant being waited on, or just, you know, driving through a coffee shop, you know, line or something, he'll tell workers, you know, thank you for coming to work today and for doing your job so well. And you just see the smile that people, when they're recognized for, you know, their contributions, and just when you express joy, then they see that and they often return that back. And
absolutely.
Yeah. So over the last, you know, it's been almost 20 years with these buttons. How has that also opened conversations, Jerry, to share the truth of the gospel of Christ to maybe people who haven't even heard about Jesus?
Well, this past Friday night in Columbus, Mississippi, I was passing out my buttons at their Wassail Fest. And I had this lady come up and she asked me, "Are you standing in line to get wassail?" And I said, "No, ma'am, I'm not." And she said, "Well, pardon me if I got in front of you." And I said, "No, you didn't do that. But because you're so nice, can I give you this button?" And she looked at it and said, "Absolutely." And I said, "If the button offends you, I apologize and I'll take it back." And she looked at me and said, "Why would Jesus offend me?" And I said, "Well, I don't want to offend anybody, but Jesus does offend a lot of people. And if you said Jesus offended you, then that'd give me an opportunity to change the conversation and we'd talk about something else. And that's your salvation." And so the buttons, when people, I'll give a person a button and I'll say, "Look, I may not see you again down here, but I'll see you up there in heaven." I mean, it brightens their day, and it does. It brings joy out of your life. I enjoy engaging people about Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and what a great way and a conversation starter. And so, you know, if you're a listener and you're someone who wants to share the truth of the gospel of Christ during this holiday season, but, you know, maybe you're not sure how to start the conversation or these inroads, this button is the perfect way to kind of start that conversation. And you can go to resources.afa.net. You can get the wristbands and the buttons. We even have ones on here that look a little more just evergreen in terms of pro-America, that says, "In God We Trust." And that's a great conversation starter as well. And, you know, Jerry, I found that especially when I'm traveling and I'm on an airplane, because, you know, you kind of have a captive audience of the person next to you. And that's a great time to have a conversation starter. And if you're wearing one of these buttons, maybe during your holiday travel as a listener, it's a great way to prompt that conversation. And I've met actually some still friends to this day, literally just on an airplane. One of my dear friends who lives in a different state, because we just happened to be on an airplane, you know, together, but sat next to each other for the couple of hours on that plane, still, you know, send each other Christmas cards. And he was going out to visit his daughter, who's about my same age. And so we just, you know, had a great conversation. And and he's a Christian as well. So, of course, we bonded over our mutual faith. And and that kind of friendship can be, you know, sparked anywhere. And these buttons can be a gateway to that, and kind of an opening and a conversation starter. So so this is just really exciting. And it's so great to hear that kind of joy that comes through just this tradition that you have. So when you don't have buttons for the season, I mean, do you have kind of like regular season instead of just the Christmas season buttons? Or what do you do when, or do you pass these out all year round?
Well, of course, I'm conservative and I'm a traditionalist, and my mother wouldn't allow us to put up a Christmas tree until after Thanksgiving. However, things have changed. The culture has changed, and now I see Christmas decoration in the box stores starting in September. So when people start putting their Christmas decorations out, I've just decided I'm going to start wearing my Christmas buttons. But throughout the year, I've received a number of different kinds of buttons from American Family Association on freedom and voting. And so I wear those buttons all the time. It's just, like you say, it's a conversation starter. And if you'll remember, in John chapter 4, it was Jesus that started the conversation with a woman at Jacob's well. He starts the conversation with us, and I just like to let the conversation from Christ flow through me to others.
Oh, amen. And I'm just so inspired by the joy that radiates just through your voice, Jerry. And I'm so thankful for Christians like you who just want to spread this joy through this holiday season. And, you know, I'm with you because I put my Christmas tree up. My birthday is November 1st, so that kind of gives me an excuse to kind of do what I want on my birthday. So I put my Christmas tree up generally on my birthday weekend. And that's the start of the Christmas season that goes all the way through at least the first week of January. Because I want to celebrate everything, and I want to, be part of the entire holiday season because I love the joy and, of course, the truth of the gospel of Christ. So thank you so much for sharing your story and the story behind these buttons. So if you're listening and you want to be part of just having a conversation starter, you can get the red and green buttons and also these great Keep Christ in Christmas wristbands. Go to resources.afa.net, and this week until Friday or through Friday, you have free shipping as well. So be part of the flair, as they say, of the buttons for the holiday season. And I got some text messages that both of my producers, Devin and Adam, are wearing their Christmas buttons. So I'm going to be ordering them as soon as we go off air so that I too can participate in this. You can always reach me and my team, Jenna@AFR.net.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
We'd like to thank our sponsors, including Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies' lives. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.